let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. The historical fiction In the Beginning, The Early Days of Religious Beliefs by Jaime Reyes shares the compelling tale of a Neanderthal man's journey as he becomes spiritual leader of his clan and passes his knowledge onto his descendants so they can continue to benefit. A story described as both scholarly nonfiction and enjoyable fable, a believable fantasy. Jaime was born in Puerto Rico, moved to the U.S. mainland when he was 8, served in Vietnam as an intelligence agent and an analyst, later owned a business, then served as deputy sheriff. After retiring from law enforcement, he earned his B.S. in communications journalism, continued to pursue his love of writing. In the Beginning is his first novel. And Jaime Reyes, author of In the Beginning, The Early Days of Religious Beliefs, is our guest on This Week in America. Welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us today.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on.
This is going to be fun. In talking about this, your first book, and it's interesting, you slide into retirement. Most people decide I'm going to take up fishing or something. You take up writing, and you're so good at it. And we'll talk about getting started later and any regrets you didn't start this earlier. But I'm fascinated by the book, In the Beginning, The Early Days of Religious Beliefs. What was the inspiration for putting this book together, for writing it?
Well, the idea has been percolating in my head for many, many years, decades, since I was about 11. When I was 11, I wrote a report for a school newspaper comparing religions, ancient religions, to modernism, mythology, Catholicism, Mohammedism. Islam was called Mohammedism back in those days, but now it's Islam. Buddhism was not really a religion, but it's a way of life. And Hinduism, and I thinking about it, how did all this get started? Somebody had to come up with an idea. So I just made up a story when I was very young, and I imagined early cave dwellers wondering where there was lightning, where the stones came from, where the sun goes, where the moon comes from. And people have always believed. They've always had spiritual leanings. They attribute unexplainable events to spirits or gods. So my hero in the book, he came up with the idea of organizing these beliefs and proclaimed himself to be the speaker of the spirits. He spoke for them. If there's a problem, talk to me. I'll talk to them. We'll get it straightened out. It's sort of simple like that.
Yes.
And I just kept thinking, adding to the story as years went by. But then many years later, I had a near-death experience 3 years ago, and I said, I better get this book. I've been writing for a long time, but not books, PSAs, public service announcements, opinion pieces, political pieces, and things that ask for newspapers. But I had never written a book, so I decided I better get this book down before the next near-death experience is the last one. So it took me since the idea was formulated in my head, most of the details, it took me about 3 weeks to write it, and then took me 6 months to polish it, to edit it, to fix it, to add, subtract, and it inspired me when I was about 11, and it just kept on percolating through the years.
It's amazing.
I'm much older now.
It's amazing how that idea never went away, and it probably has changed from the time you actually wrote it to when you first came up with this concept at age 11. The book is In the Beginning, The Early Days of Religious Beliefs. The author is our guest on the program, Jaime Reyes, and that's J-A-I-M-E. Reyes is R-E-Y-E-S. We'll have that up on our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and you can get information there. Jaime's book is available at Amazon, all of the usual places, receiving excellent reviews. It sounds like this writing is something you've always done. Now with this first published book, obviously it brings you great pleasure. What makes you happy about being an author, being a writer?
The main thing is that when I sit down to write, I sit down, and when I look up, it's 4 or 5 hours later. I got 2,000 words, and the time just flies, and I really enjoy it. I find a nice, comfortable place. I turn on some nice soft music, and it just whiles the time away, and it's not exhausting. I'm not tired. is not going out to dig a ditch. I'm actually doing something I enjoy. And when you're doing something you enjoy, you're not really working. And it's something really pleasing to me. And I don't have much time left, you know, chronologically. So I have to put down all my ideas down. So maybe it'll help someone down the road, or maybe, teachings for my kids. I'm working on several books at a time, depending on the ideas haven't been formulated completely like the first book. So it takes me a while to get, but when I run out of ideas for one book, I work on the other one. My pet project right now is a Vietnam war story book. I want to get as many Vietnam veterans to contribute a paragraph or two or a page or two, telling me their experience, their unusual, unique experiences, their horrific or even humorous experiences. And I only have one criteria. They must be true. They can't invent something. The stories must be true. Like my portion of the book is already 6,000 words, and I have a couple others, veterans that are going to contribute, and I'm going to compile it into a book of memoirs of Vietnam veterans. And there's plenty of them for World War One, World War Two, and others, but I don't think there's anything like this for Vietnam.
Well, that'll be important. That gives us a different perspective from people who have been there. I mentioned your background in Vietnam, an intelligence agent and an analyst. I'm sure that it'll be fun to read through all of your thoughts as you look back on that period. And you talk about leaving this sort of a legacy for friends, family members. The response is so important, and all of the reviews I'm reading are really good reviews. Talk about the response you're getting to the book, because you're entertaining people, but you're getting them to think a little bit along the way as well, which is always a good thing.
Yes, the main idea of my book is, once they finish, I want them to think, wow, could it really have started this way? That's the main thought. I want them to think about the things they believe in, because there are so many religions and so many sects and so many that, first of all, they can't all be right. I mean, by the way, the book has to do with religion, but it's not about religion. It is not meant to direct you in one direction or another.
Right.
It just talks about the origin of religious beliefs, and they were organized, and it became organized into a business. I mean, the religions are the biggest business in the world. They do good work, but they need money to survive, so they become very powerful businesses. And the only thing they sell is persuasion. This is the way it is, according to them. But nobody knows which one is the right one. Nobody's ever come back and said, oh, the Methodists are right, or the Presbyterians are right. But suppose you spend your whole life as a Presbyterian, and then when you go knock on the pearly gates, they'll say, no, 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 you should have been
yes.
a Baptist. You know, the Baptists were right. Who knows? But this just gives you an idea of how this persuasive power, this came to be and evolved into what it is now.
Well, you said something very interesting. Go ahead. Finish that thought. Go ahead.
Well, the thing is that your religion is based on basically usually on your parents, what they believe in, or where you were born. People that are born in Afghanistan or Iraq more than likely end up Muslim. People that are born in India end up being Hindus. It doesn't mean they're wrong or they're right. It's what they believe. They believe just as strongly in theirs as Christians believe in theirs. And it just, you're kind of like brainwashed or really so inured to a particular thing that it's like arguing politics. You can't argue politics or argue religion, because it's a belief. And if you believe it, nobody's going to change your mind. Now, there are a few breakaways like me. When I woke up, I said, whoa, you know, when I started comparing the religions, I said, this doesn't make, a lot of things didn't make sense. So I like it drifted away from organized religion. So that's basically the story.
Well, and it's interesting you point out it's not a book about religion. And as Jaime is talking about that, you get that impression. It's a good story that will get you to think. The book is in the beginning, the early days of religious beliefs. Jaime Reyes, our guest on the program, that's J-A-I-M-E, and then Reyes is R-E-Y-E-S. Book at Amazon, the usual places. You go to our website and get all the information there as well. When you wrote the book, any particular interest group that you had in mind as you were writing this? Because as I'm looking at this, this book is something that anybody could read. Did you have a specific group in mind as you wrote it?
Actually, no. Mostly, you know, teenagers and adults, like little children, maybe it couldn't be a children's book, or maybe it could if it's edited properly, but it's young adults and adults. Almost anybody can read it. And one reviewer said that the most vulgar word in the book was hell. I don't even know if I wrote the word hell, but the reviewer said the most vulgar book in the book, and it was most vulgar, well, I can't even say it, vulgar word in the book was hell. So there's no cursing, there's no sex, there's no, you know, none of that. This is just a story about the organization of religion and how this family came to power. And I base this family mostly on real families that have controlled religions. For example, the Medicis or the Borgias, they controlled the church for hundreds of years, just the family. They even made a daughter a pope. And this is I use that as a little stepping stone, how this family decided to keep their secret beliefs to themselves, because they themselves didn't believe any of this stuff. They made it up. The grandfather made it all up and passed it on to his children and grandchildren. And he made them vow to keep it a secret because it meant power, it meant a life of luxury, and it control and everything else that comes with power.
You know, one of the themes that you talk about in your book, in the beginning, the early days of religious beliefs, is kindness. And you talk about the fact that young people will be reading the book and should be reading the book. Why is it important, you think, to teach kindness to children? Talk about the importance of that you feel.
Well, I think it's pretty obvious that, you know, if you learn kindness, you're going to be happier. You're going to make other people happy.
Yes.
Other people make you happy. And things work out better for you. Instead of being miserable in your life and being a sourpuss or being doing evil deeds, it's going to make your life miserable. You're either going to end up in jail, you're going to end up unhappy or broke or something else. If you live a decent life, you're going to do well.
Yes, and it's, as I said, it's just one of the themes that Jaime talks about in his book, In the Beginning, the Early Days of Religious Beliefs. As you wrote this book, and I think you've touched on some of them, but what would you consider maybe the main goal of the book, the takeaway when people read this? And again, it's a good story, it's well told, but it's more than that, isn't it?
Yes, I want to generate ideas. I want to generate discussion. I want people to think. And when they go to the water cooler and say, "Oh, did you read that book?" and they'll argue back and forth as to, "Yeah, maybe he's right about this. Maybe he makes some sense in this, or he's full of crap in this other sense." But I want them to discuss it, to talk about it, to know exactly, to think about what they believe in, the legitimacy of what they believe in, or maybe they should believe in something. Either way, it goes both ways. Should they follow one or should they follow another? Should they? I want them to discuss it. I want people to think about the story and wonder, did it really happen this way? Did it really begin this way? And that's it.
We've got time is going by so quickly. I would like to talk about the family, your mom and dad, an influence on you. You have had this desire to write, to read. Education has been important to you. You earned your BS degree in 2 years. Talk about the role of mom and dad and the influence they had on who you are today as a reader and as a writer.
Well, here's the situation. I like to claim that I've never been poor. My family has always been fairly well. I mean, we're not rich, but my father was a mechanic. He had a profession, and in Puerto Rico, we lived well. We had our own house. We had a radio. We had the beach was in my backyard, and my mother didn't have to work, so she taught my brother and me to read at a very early age. I was reading Spanish when I was 3 years old. And because of that, because my brother and I knew how to read at four, they took us into school. They let us in. Back then, they didn't have rules about certain born a certain date. But we could read, so we were. I started first grade when I was, there was no kindergarten then. I started fourth grade when I was 4 years old. And I went, right before going into fourth grade, we moved over here. When we came here, she continued her education. She didn't speak English, but she bought us comic books and books and magazines, and because the alphabet is the same. And in Spanish and English. So all you have to do is learn how to pronounce it and learn the meaning of certain words. And she pushed us to study, and she made us watch the news because newscasters have better diction than the average person. They pronounce the words properly.
Yes.
So she made us watch the newscast. John Facenda, Eduardo Amaro, back a long time ago. So some people might remember.
I remember them well, yes.
She pushed us. She made us. She looked at our report cards. My father, they looked every single time there was a report. We were, although we came here not speaking a word of English, I don't, it's not like bragging, but we were straight A students in about 3 or 4 months. It was just, we would teach each other. My brother would learn some words, he'd teach me, I'd teach him, and we'd practice back and forth. And we really wanted, because there were some embarrassing moments in school. For example, a real quick example, the word Tom, it's the name Tom, T-O-M. But when you get, when you add a B at the end, it's not, it becomes tomb.
Oh, yes.
But I didn't know that. And I said, I was really standing there and I said, Tom, and everybody starts laughing. And I wonder what the hell they're laughing at. And it was that I was mispronouncing, but the, see, in Spanish, there's an accent. Like
yes.
The word P-A-P-A can be papa or papa, but there's an accent to tell you which one is which. In English, there are no accents. So you don't know, for example, one day tell you read is R-E-A-D, the next day is red, or red is R-E-D, another time read is R-E-E-D. It's confusing as hell, but you learn. We really were motivated to look. I didn't like being laughed at. And made a lot of mistakes, but eventually I got the gist of it.
Well, that's good motivation, and you learn very well. It's so impressive in reading your story and the impact your parents and your brother had on who you are today. A minute or so left here at the end. What are you working on now? You mentioned other stories that you've got that you're working on developing. What can we expect to see from you next?
Well, the next one will probably be the First Night, FIRSTNIGHT, The First Night. My first night in Vietnam was horrific. And that's the title of the book, is First Night, Vietnam War Stories. And it should be ready within 6 months or so. I'm trying to get some cooperation from other veterans because I want their ideas in it too. I'm really dedicated to that project. Because, for example, see, Vietnam veterans were not treated, Vietnam soldiers were not treated with respect. They were not treated properly. When we got back, we were told not to wear the uniform in the airport because we're going to be throw stuff at us. It was a nasty war, and we were not heroes like the ones that are in war now. I mean, and more power to them, but we were treated like crap in Vietnam. So, and here, not in Vietnam, but here, when we came home. And I want to talk about that. I want to explain that, and maybe add some light to a war that nobody cared about and nobody supported.
Well, I'm sure you will, because you've got this human perspective and incorporating others. I love the title that grabs your attention right away, and I hope we have an opportunity to talk about that book as well. Time has gone by so quickly. Our guest on the program, Jaime Reyes, that's J-A-I-M-E, Reyes is R-E-Y-E-S. His book is In the Beginning, The Early Days of Religious Beliefs. You'll find all of that on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. I mean, his book is available at Amazon, all of the usual places. Again, you can track it down on our website. We'll direct you to the proper place to get information and to buy the book. Jaime, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. Stay in touch. We'd love to talk about the newest book that you're working on. Congratulations on the success of In the Beginning, and thank you for being with us on the program.
And thank you for giving me the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
It has been our pleasure.
Have a good day.
You as well. And the spelling is J-A-I-M-E, Reyes, R-E-Y-E-S. The book In the Beginning, The Early Days of Religious Beliefs, the historical fiction, acclaimed historical fiction, excellent reviews. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.